Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori. So glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 on WLIW 88.3 FM. And each show can be heard live online at WLIW.org. And if you miss it live, you know you can catch it on my podcast via Audio Boom and iTunes. And each show is also archived on my website at annliguori.com, A-N-N-L-I-G-U-O-R-I.com. Well, a cool thing happened while I was visiting Puerto Rico recently. I realized what an incredible golf destination it is and how much the island has to offer. First, it's very easy to get there from New York, Orlando, wherever you're flying from. It's a 3-hour and 52-minute flight from JFK and 2 hours and 41 minutes from Orlando, where I happen to fly from. You don't need a passport to get there from the U.S. No international phone card is needed or currency exchange, and English is widely spoken. And while there are strict COVID testing rules prior to arriving on the island, no test is required to return to the mainland from Puerto Rico. The weather is perfect, with average temperatures throughout the year ranging between 70 and 80 degrees Fahrenheit, and the island has nearly 300 beaches along Puerto Rico's 272 miles of coastline. And there are a lot of options for golfers, with 18 public access courses. They're easy to get to, as you know, Puerto Rico is not that big of an island. The courses range from luxury resorts to municipal courses, and many of the courses are clustered near historic San Juan on the northeast portion of the island. The scenery that awaits you are oceanfront views, coconut trees, mountain and rainforest vistas. And the biodiversity of the land is so intriguing. The rainforest there is the only rainforest in the U.S. National Forest System. And you can see views of the rainforest from a lot of the golf courses that we played. You'll recognize the course designers from Robert Trent Jones Sr., Robert Trent Jones Jr., Greg Norman, Gary Player, Reese Jones, Tom Fazio, just to name a few. And four of the top-rated golf courses in all the Caribbean, Mexico, Costa Rica, are located in Puerto Rico. Beyond the golf, visitors can experience the island's fascinating culture. The food is excellent, rich heritage, original music. I mean, you'll feel like you're in an island somewhere off the coast of Europe as far as the culture and cuisine go, yet it's so close. All right, in this show, we're going to get a closer look at several of the top golf destinations on the island and learn more about what Puerto Rico has to offer. J.P. Polo, the Director of Creative Strategy at Discover Puerto Rico, he shares an overview of the golf options in Puerto Rico, and you'll hear how passionate he is telling the stories and spreading the word. He is a very good golfer. He was so much fun to play with, and it was really interesting learning about Puerto Rico through his lens. Aaron Wise, the Director of Golf at Grand Reserve Golf Club, he'll talk about the Tom Kite Design Championship course where they host the Puerto Rico Open. The Hyatt Regency Grand Reserve, the hotel property there, is situated on a natural reserve, just stunning beach property. And the hotel was recently redone. It's airy, it's contemporary design, it's both pleasing to the eye and very comfortable. And being an avid swimmer, I love the fact that one of their three pools at the resort is the island's largest lagoon-style swimming pool. And I enjoyed all the culinary options at the Hyatt Regency Grand Reserve as well. Jeff Willenberg, the Director of Golf at TPC Dorado Beach, it's a Ritz-Carlton Reserve. He talks about the 36 holes there, the resort's rich history. It was home to Puerto Rico's most famous golfer, Chichi Rodriguez. And we talk about the recent boom in golf and real estate on the island. I also had the pleasure of playing the St. Regis Bahia Beach Course. It's just a stunning layout designed by Robert Trent Jones Jr., 7,000 yards from the championship tees. We did not play those tee boxes, mind you, but very narrow fairways, challenging green complexes, and it's a gold-certified wildlife sanctuary by Audubon International. Also played the Wyndham Grand Rio Mar Golf and Beach Resort. Very expansive, beautiful property with the ocean course designed by Tom and George Fazio and the river course designed by Greg Norman, providing two very unique golf experiences and wonderful charm. The resort has endless dining options as well, and we had a most memorable farm-to-table culinary experience in a restaurant called Roots Coastal Kitchen. My favorite dish, the grilled swordfish. Unbelievable. Sports Interview is brought to you by Peak Vision Sunglasses, Zero Distortion, Patented Dual Zone Lens Technology. Learn more at Peak Vision, PEAKVision.com. And Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is also brought to you by Dune Jewelry and my Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or golf course in timeless pieces for men and women. Dune, D-U-N-E, Jewelry.com. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and my guest is J.P. Polo, Chief Creative Strategist for Discover Puerto Rico. And J.P., thanks so much for hosting me this week. We've had a wonderful time. Puerto Rico has a lot of golf options.
It really does. It's a great island. You know, I'm proud to be a Puerto Rican. And as you know, it's a 100 by 35 mile island. We've got 18 golf courses all around Puerto Rico. So very accessible, 2-hour drive, diversity of playing conditions. You've got different golf designers like Robert Trent Jones Jr. You've got Greg Norman design. So really a lot of different playing conditions in prime real estate areas.
And the Puerto Rican Open, what a great PGA Tour event. We played in the Pro-Am the other day, just really fun. We had some great pros. And talk a little bit about, you know, the fact that that's been going on here for a good number of years.
Yeah, Puerto Rico Open has been going on for a little over 12 years in Puerto Rico. We're proud to host that event, proud that Discover Puerto Rico is the title sponsor for the event. And really, you know, it brings a lot of visibility into what Puerto Rico has to offer from a golf destination, but also from a leisure destination. The event has been won by multiple players that have gone on to win major championships and beat top players. So we're proud that it is an event that really brings out some of the best emerging players out there on the PGA Tour.
And your very own has had a really good career, right? Rafael Campos.
Yeah, Rafa Campos, a big buddy of mine growing up. We played a couple of island events. Obviously, he beat me every time. But he's out there. He's made a great name for himself. Won on the Korn Ferry Tour. Is now out on the PGA Tour. He's had a couple of good good finishes. And we think he's going to do pretty good on this year's Puerto Rico Open.
And you have a Puerto Rican woman doing very well in the LPGA.
Very true. Maria Torres. She's on the LPGA Tour. She's had great finishes in major championships. She's had a lot of top 10s on the LPGA, and she's really a strong ladies player, and we're extremely proud of what she's been doing for Puerto Rico.
You know, I play golf all over the world, and I didn't realize how many golf options were here on Puerto Rico, in Puerto Rico, and Discover Puerto Rico is doing a very good job now in promoting that. And it's only been going on for, 3 years?
Yeah, Discover Puerto Rico is the destination marketing organization for Puerto Rico, or DMO. And traditionally, the country had been marketed by the government, and they decided to create a nonpartisan, non-political organization. And what that has given us is the ability to, one, create a consistent branding, and as it relates to golf, really own the marketing pillar that is golf in Puerto Rico. We are an island with 365 days of summer weather, so you can travel here anytime, and you can enjoy a great round in any of our top 18 golf courses around the island.
We are currently at Dorado Beach, and there's a rich history here. Talk about Dorado Beach.
Well, we are at Dorado Beach, and it's one of my favorite places to be in Puerto Rico. It's where I grew up, and most of my golf played here. I used to jump the fence just to get a free nine here and there every now and then. So, but Dorado is sort of the capital of golf in Puerto Rico. It's where golf was born. It is rich in tradition, rich in history here. Dorado Beach has been sort of the center of golf throughout the emerging golf market in Puerto Rico. And the great thing that they've done is that they've been able to modernize the facilities and do redesigns while staying very true to what used to be the original golf culture here in Dorado. So it's a great place to come to be able to enjoy some, world-class PGA. We've got some PGA qualifying events here in Dorado Beach East. It's a tough layout, as you saw, but it is an amazing golf course. And obviously the town of Dorado has been instrumental in making sure that golf is the capital, that Dorado is the capital for golf for Puerto Rico.
It's a course that has a lot of elevation, obviously views of the ocean. The number one hole, first hole, is beautiful. You have the Atlantic Ocean on the left. Obviously, with the winds coming off the ocean, it makes it very challenging. But there's a good variety just here at Dorado Beach.
Yeah, there is. And as you said, wind is a determining factor for playing golf in the Caribbean. We've got a prevailing northeast trade wind that plays into most of these holes. The playing conditions are amazing. You know, the bunkers, the greens, I think today they were playing around 11 on the stimp meter. So you get really tough playing conditions here in a very classical layout.
Talk about the other courses that we played this week, from Bahia Beach to the Hyatt Regency. The variety is what struck me.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the selling points when people are looking for a golf destination, whether it's for a buddy trip or just to come down with the family. You're going to get a variety of playing conditions and a variety of golf layouts. You're going to get golf courses that are a little bit more affordable. You're going to get golf courses that are a little bit more expensive. But you get, you got golf courses on the northeast of the island that play with the rainforest as the background. And you're not going to get that anywhere else in North America. There are no other rainforests in North America. So that's the only view you're going to get is of that rainforest is here in Puerto Rico. And then you get golf courses on the northwest of Puerto Rico, like Royal Isabela. And you're transported and you feel like you're in Ireland. And it's just amazing to be able to play off those cliffs. So you get a lot of ocean view courses, which is what, the traditional thing that you would think of on an island golf playing experience. But there is so much more to offer when you look at Puerto Rico as a golf destination.
You mentioned Royal Isabela, our buddies, Charlie Passarau and his brother, Stanley. That is a beautiful piece of property. And it's not that far away. You're talking, about a two and a half hour drive from here?
Yeah, Isabela is maybe an hour, 15, hour, 30 minutes away from San Juan. The property is just as good as it comes. Stanley and Charlie, good friends, they chose the right place to build the type of property that they were looking for, and they knew exactly the type of experience that they wanted their guests to have. And they not only accomplished it, I think they exceed the expectations of anyone. If you go there, it's just the magic of being there. It's enchanting. And the golf course, again, you know you're in Puerto Rico because you've got the Atlantic Ocean right there. You've got the 85-degree weather. But just the way that it's been built and the way that it's been designed, it just feels like you're in Ireland.
A lot of variety, as you're mentioning, JP. And talk a little bit about Puerto Rico's resurgence in golf after Hurricane Maria. It just seems like, there was a lot of money put into, a lot of the resort courses and the resort properties and a lot of focus on it.
Yeah, obviously Hurricane Maria had a detrimental effect on tourism in Puerto Rico. It had a detrimental effect on the way that people were perceiving the island. Thankfully, people and the resiliency of Puerto Ricans showed its true colors right there. We got up quickly. I think, not even a year after Hurricane Maria, a lot of the hotels were already open. And if you've drove around Puerto Rico, you can see that the devastation that people tend to associate is no longer there. And the key was the way the properties were able to build up, the strategic investments that they made in making sure that the facilities and the infrastructure were not only up to speed, but modernized correctly. So the monies were used very strategically and very smartly. And as it relates to golf, golf courses, as soon as the grass kept growing, and that's the thing with nature, it comes back. And the golf courses came back stronger than ever.
And during the pandemic, golf is really enjoying a resurgence because of the social distancing. And here in Puerto Rico, it just seems like you haven't skipped a beat. It seems like the courses are busy. Of course, more and more visitors are coming from the United States, maybe not so much yet from Europe because of restrictions. But I think Puerto Rico has handled the pandemic pretty much as well as any state or any country could really handle it.
Yeah, that's completely right. Puerto Rico, I believe, was, and I'm pretty sure it was the first U.S. jurisdiction to actually put a curfew on and put very strict measures. So we were able to control the pandemic right off the get-go. Obviously, it's a pandemic. We had our cases, but the way that the government managed it was key in ensuring that, Puerto Ricans were kept safe. And now that as we're looking at having tourism sort of rebound and starting to understand how people are looking to travel, golf, it's the social distancing king sport of the world. You are socially distancing. You're in an environment that's safe, you're in an environment that's open, and you're able to enjoy the outdoors doing something that you love with making sure that health and safety are top priority.
And the pros keep raving about coming down here for the Puerto Rican Open. They love it. And the weather is cooperative. It's, you know, it seemed to be, you know, this year just very breezy and cool and not tremendously hot and humid.
Correct. Yeah. The month of February is it's our winter month. So, you know, temperatures might range in the low 80s to high 70s. It's still pretty good weather for golf. I think the pros are really enjoying the Puerto Rico Open. They understand that the people of Puerto Rico love having them here. They get to feel that energy of the Puerto Ricans and, you know, that sort of Latino vibe that we've got going and, you know, all that emotion that we put into everything that we do. They love having having the event here, and more you're seeing more top pros come to Puerto Rico. You're seeing, you know, major champions come to Puerto Rico. And I think we're at the cusp of making sure that Puerto Rico not only has a Puerto Rico Open event right now, sort of a second tier event, but that we make sure that we've got a top tier PGA Tour event in the coming years. And I think we're on the cusp of making that happen.
Absolutely. Talk a little bit about the Puerto Rican golfer. There's a lot of passion, very competitive. You like to, you know, kind of throw around some bets now and then. It's a very distinct personality when you're talking about golfers here in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, the golfing culture is a reflection of who we are as Puerto Ricans. We love to have fun, and I think I mentioned this to you on the golf course. The culture of golf is very unique in Puerto Rico. You're going to come down here, you're going to play golf. You know, we stick to the rules, we stick to the traditions, but we like to have fun. We like to go out, we like to do bets, we like to have music on every now and then. 19th hole is as fun as it comes. You're always going to have live music, great food, great drinks, and just the environment of the people. It's just, it's really unique. I remember when I decided to move back to Puerto Rico after having spent 10 years in Washington, D.C., one of the reasons, not all of it, but one of the reasons was I missed playing golf tournaments and golf events here in Puerto Rico because they are so much fun.
Plus, the weather cooperates a little bit more than the Washington area. But so you're back in Puerto Rico, JP, originally from here. You went back and you went to the United States, worked in Washington, came back down here to Puerto Rico. And what about some other activities? If you want to do some other things, there's a lot to see here. You mentioned the rainforest, the beaches are beautiful, and there's the rich history, really. There's a lot of sightseeing. I know there's some historic areas here on the island.
From the historical and cultural perspective, Puerto Rico offers a lot. We are a U.S. jurisdiction, so you don't need a passport to come down here. But when you do, you're going to feel like you're out of the United States. And that is because of the mix of cultures that we've got. We've got the Taino, we've got the African, we've got the Spanish, and then we've got the U.S. influence. So that amount of mixes of culture really makes Puerto Rico a unique place. And you see that in not only the activities, the culture, the gastronomy, but also in the architecture of places like San Juan and Ponce and Mayagüez. But then, you know, you think about, I love doing leisure activities. What is there to do in Puerto Rico? Well, you're on an island. You've got a rainforest. You can do hiking. You can go to the waterfalls. You can play golf, obviously. We've talked about that enough already. But there is so much else to do. You've got the beaches. You've got the mountains. You've got the waterfalls. You've got the rock climbing. I'm a big scuba diver. You've got world-class scuba destinations here in Puerto Rico. You can go boating. You can go kayaking. You can go to 2 of the 5 biobays in the world are here in Puerto Rico. So there is so much you can do. I've been spending the last 3 years doing everything that there is to do from a tourism perspective because that's my job. How do I transmit tourism into an audiovisual medium? And I still haven't done everything that there is to do, and I'm not tired because I want to go back and I want to do a lot of those things again and again and again with my family, with my kid. So really, it's a great place. It's an enchanting place. It's a magical place. We invite everybody to come and discover Puerto Rico.
And the culinary as well. Very impressed with the food here.
Yeah, the food, it's that mix of cultures, but there is also a lot of chefs in Puerto Rico that have really taken, they've gone out, they've trained the top restaurants around the world. You've got, you've got chefs like Mario Pagan, you've got chefs like Paxito. There is a lot of gastronomy culture here, and then a lot of people taking that Puerto Rican gastronomy to the next level. And the cool thing here is, you know, if you come to Puerto Rico, go to the fine dining, but make sure you stop at the street foods. Make sure you stop at La Fondita. Make sure you really read and learn a lot about the gastronomy, because you're going to miss out on a lot if you're not going to the right places. There is so much diversity in terms of the food that you can get. It's not only about the seafood, which is amazing because obviously we're an island, but there is a lot more because of that influence of cultures that we've got.
JP, I love playing golf with you all week. I love your passion for Puerto Rico and for golf, and thanks for telling the story.
Thanks for having me, and that's the key. Puerto Rico is a U.S. jurisdiction. You don't need a passport to come down here. Most places from the East Coast, it's a 3-hour flight, 4-hour flight. We've got a bunch of direct flights coming in, and as we get out of this pandemic, which we know we are, Puerto Rico should be the top place in your viewers' mind of places to come to travel to.
And next time we'll win that Pro-Am.
We definitely will win that Pro-Am.
I think I still owe you $5 for that eagle earlier in the week. JP Polo, Chief Creative Strategist for Discover Puerto Rico. Thanks so much for being on Sports Interview.
Thank you.
Sports Interview is brought to you by Peak Vision Sunglasses, Zero Distortion, Patent and Dual Zone Lens Technology. Learn more at Peak Vision, PEAKVision.com. And Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is also brought to you by Dune Jewelry and my Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or golf course in timeless pieces for men and women. Dune, D-U-N-E, jewelry.com. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Aaron West, the director of golf for the Grand Reserve Golf Club in Rio Grande, Puerto Rico. It's great to be in Puerto Rico, Aaron West.
Well, thank you. Thanks for coming, and I hope you're enjoying your time here in Puerto Rico with us.
It's so lovely. The weather's been great. Of course, you have that breeze off the ocean, and just describe exactly where we are.
Yeah, we're on the north coast of the island, almost the eastern portion. So 45 minutes from the airport, east of the airport there in Isla Verde, Puerto Rico. Good little spot right on the beach, right on the ocean for a little golf and everything that we do here in Puerto Rico.
And it makes it so exciting. There's so much golf, great golf on this island, and I want to talk to you about that in a second. But it makes it exciting that the Puerto Rico Open is right here. And you have some great players, playing this year.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the 13th edition in the last 14 years. Obviously, we took a year off for Hurricane Maria. But yeah, we got some great players. Podrick's making the stop over here. Even David Duval kind of jumping out of the woodwork. But we've got some of the up-and-coming really good players there. Brandon Wu, Grayson Sig, Byung-Hun An. Some of those guys that didn't make it quite into that WGC event, but come to Puerto Rico and play our event, and we're very happy to have them.
And how would playing here differ from perhaps anywhere else that they may play? I mean, obviously it's windy on the ocean, but would it be any different?
Well, I mean, it can get windy here. I don't think it's, it's always the case, but you're going to get good weather this time of year. I know in February in the couple of states right now, even down in Texas, they had a little bit of a cold snap there. But just to get out here, be 82 and sunny and play golf, I think is a treat for anyone, especially the tour players, to be able to do that for their living. Get out here and do it.
I played with Seamus Power in the Pro-Am. What a delight, from Ireland. And we were talking about the wind, and he said, hey, he'd take this wind any day because it's so much warmer here than it is on the Emerald Isle.
Absolutely. A little different weather there, probably a little windier there, a little bit more consistently wind. We just have that kind of trade wind off the ocean, pretty consistent, normally pretty light, but hopefully we get a little bit this week, make it too easy on them, scoring wise.
So talk a little bit about the golf course. Tom Kite designed it. There are 27 holes, past Palm Grass, right?
Correct. So like you said, 27 hole golf course, the championship 18, and then we have 9 holes on the international. It goes up what we call the mountain. Puerto Rico's relatively flat in general, but we've got some tees that are really elevated. Some really cool vistas, really cool views over there. And it's just a great, 27 holes to kind of be around during 1 day, 2 days, whatever it takes to play that much golf.
And Aaron, as the director of golf here, talk about, you know, how what you do to prepare for a tournament like this.
Yeah, absolutely. The tournament's definitely a few weeks in the making, if not all year round. You know, you're trying to get that the golf course kind of in shape for that time. So we, you know, the week beforehand, and there's a lot of prep, making sure that the locker room's ready for those guys, making sure that the pro shop's got everything that we need, the driving range, the golf carts for those pro-ams, and everybody out here, ShotLink and Golf Channel and everything that's going to go on, so that everything can run smoothly for that event, and the players get out there and just get out and play that 72 holes and shoot their scores.
And how much prep time does it take?
I mean, you're always prepping. Pretty much from when the last one's over, we were saying, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? But yeah, definitely during the first couple months of the year, for sure. The end of December, January, and February, we're that's our main focus, is trying to get ready for this event and make sure the golf course is where it is and everybody, the communication is how it is, so that we know kind of where we need to be for this week and ready to go today and tomorrow when we start.
I have to say, it seems so organized from before we left the States, before we left Florida, and as far as the COVID testing and just every aspect about this pro-am was completely organized and well done. So congratulations to you and your team, because I know, especially in these unusual COVID times, that has to add a whole different element of challengingness to this tournament.
Sure, it's difficult for everybody. You know, we're working, so we're happy, and we're not going to complain. But yeah, having to get everybody tested, you know, Sunday, wait for those results, everybody coming in from the airport, you know, all the different things. Unfortunately, I think the negative part of it was we don't get to do all the stuff with the kids zones, and some of the hospitality and stuff that we're so used to here in Puerto Rico, the food and drinks and the having fun. So it's going to be a little bit muted, I would say, in terms of that aspect of the event. But, you know, we're hoping that this kind of gets over and this is not a new normal, and next year we can kind of come back even stronger.
Just so the audience knows, so within 72 hours of landing in Puerto Rico, we were supposed to get a COVID test, and not a rapid results test, but a lab test. A molecular test, I guess they call it. And thank goodness it came. But if you don't get that, they do have testing in the airport here in Puerto Rico. And before you can check into your hotel, you needed a negative test. And then the day before we played in the pro-am, we got another test. So I feel like I've been tested a lot, Aaron.
Sure. Wow. Yeah, I haven't been tested that much. I know some people are being tested daily or weekly, depending on what you're doing. We've been lucky, but yeah, we had to have all of our staff. Every one of the players is being tested, all the caddies, anybody in the bubble. That's anybody going in the clubhouse, all of our food and beverage people, anybody that's having hands-on, you know, touching with the people in the event needs to be tested. Very, very limited spectators this year, mostly kind of our sponsors. So I think it's less than 300 people per day. I would say that's not almost no spectators. They don't need to be tested, but they're very restricted to where they can go. It's not like a normal event where you can see the 18 holes. Unfortunately, we just have kind of a, like about a 6-hole area that they can see the tee shots on 1, coming into the green on 9, the tee shot on 10, coming into the green, tee on 14, coming into the green on 18. So it's a little bit different than what you'd see normally.
That's interesting because, I mean, you know, the signage looks great on the golf course, and there are hospitality areas where you think, wow, they're expecting some big crowds here, right? You've made the people who are coming feel very welcome.
Sure. Like you said, normally there could be 10, 15,000 people per day, and they're limiting it. Obviously, we're going to have all the volunteers and everybody here, so it'll be a lot more than 300 actual people. But as far as like tickets go, it's 300 people per day, which is going to feel a little different, I think, than normal. But we'll do our best to kind of put on that show and hopefully look good for, you know, for everybody watching at home on the Golf Channel.
Golf has been at the forefront of actually holding, carrying on, so to speak, you know, with the PGA Tour events, the LPGA Tour events, Champions Tour. They've kind of led the way, I think, in all of sport during this pandemic. And it's good to see. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, being an individual sport, I'm not saying it makes it easier, but you can control what you can control there. It's you and your team, your caddy, your coach, your, you know, those team sports. It's very difficult. You might have 60 guys in football and all the coaches and everything here. So, I mean, if you're careful and you do your right thing and you get tested and you stay smart, I think golf can do it. And I think that's why golf's done it and had been pretty successful. I know there's been a few positive tests, but even when that comes back, the quarantines and the, you know, the 14 days and there hasn't been any kind of major outbreak or anything like that. So I think that the, you know, the PGA Tour and golf in general has done a really good job, you know, giving people something to do during this time frame, during this pandemic, during this COVID, you know, people not going to the movie theaters and that kind of stuff, but they can come out and play golf as long as you put those practices in place and those things in place. So it's been great.
And a lot of people here in Puerto Rico, I know Puerto Rico has been very strict on COVID protocol. Everybody's wearing masks, even sitting down at a table. You know, in the States, we would wear masks, but perhaps take them off when we're eating. But down here, they keep the masks on, which I've noticed.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously you got to take it off to eat, but, you know, people have done a pretty good job here, I think. You know, we're an island, so if we do a good job, it'll go away quicker. And if we don't do a very good job, it's going to get really bad really quick. There's nowhere to go in that respect. So, you know, we had our time when we had a few cases back in the middle of last year, but I think it's been the government's done a really good job, and tourism is about ready to come back with the vaccine and the regulations and everything that we put in place. I think Puerto Rico's back in business, so it should be great coming up.
I know, Aaron, you have been the TPC Dorado Beach course 2003 to 2006. You know Puerto Rico, and talk a little bit about the golf scene here. I just didn't realize how many courses are here and how many really fun resorts.
Sure. We've got most of the golf courses around the North Coast. All the way on the west, you've got over in Aguadilla a golf course, and you've got the Royal Isabella golf course over there. And as you come east, you've got Dorado Beach, another golf course I used to work at. Dorado del Mar is about to come back. You've got a golf course in the city in Guaynabo with the military base, Fort Buchanan. You got a golf course a little south of that in Caguas, Caguas Real. And then you come over here kind of to the east coast where you see a few more golf courses. So as you're coming east, we've got Bahia Beach. You've got us, the 27-hole Grand Reserve, the Country Club at Grand Reserve. You got Rio Mar, El Conquistador on the east coast. And they're continuing to put other golf courses potentially in play. There's a golf course in development that the Four Seasons is doing. You got a golf course as you keep going around down in Ponce, El Legado, kind of more in the middle of the island, some smaller places here and there. So a lot of golf, if you wanted to do a tour, the way I just said it, you just get on your car and you go around west to east and play golf for 2 weeks. It'd be great.
So 2 weeks would be a good time period, right? But if you're, say you're here for 4 or 5 days, what would be the ultimate trip, would you say?
Yeah, saying I think somewhere over here in Rio Grande or in this area, I think would get you the most ability to play different golf courses quickly. Rio Mar's got 36 holes, Bahia has 18. We have 27. El Conquistador has 18. And those are all within a quick trip where you can jump in an Uber or you can jump in a cab. Where you're staying, you could be right there. And right there, that's 72 plus holes that you could play pretty quickly. You know, 90 holes of golf, what's that? Two or three days? Morning 18, afternoon 18, and do that for 3 or 4 days, long weekend.
And there's some other things to do here as well. A lot of history in Puerto Rico, the rainforest. I hear it's the only rainforest in North America. A lot of real rich history in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, Rio Grande in this area, you've got El Yunque, the rainforest, which is a day trip from here, really easy to get to. You've got the city of Old San Juan, which is fun to kind of walk around and have a drink and have some food and check out the, you know, the architecture and everything that's going on there. You could go down to Ponce. It's a little farther, but from this area, from San Juan, from Isla Verde and the airport, out east, you've got a lot of fun stuff. So if you're a hiker, come out and check out the rainforest. It's a cool little trip. Right now, I think you need to make an appointment to go out there to do it. But normally, it's just a show up and go. But with the COVID regulations, I would recommend taking a look in and doing that. But you've also got the other traditional stuff where you can go, obviously, to the beach, rent jet skis, ride horses, ATVs, all those type of things, zip lines, all that fun stuff for the kid in all of us.
I can tell why you, being a Michigan guy originally, are enjoying life in Puerto Rico, right? Talk about extremes when it comes to weather.
Yeah, a little bit, I guess. Yeah, I grew up in Michigan, went to Ferris State up there. So hopefully they're doing okay during February. Usually it's not the greatest weather, but it's not 82 and sunny. So I'm here for that, for sure.
This has been an incredible week. Yesterday we were playing and we heard the news of Tiger Woods and the accident. And thank God he's alive, because based on, you know, the looks of the vehicle and the damage and what I heard about the scene, and they said he was very fortunate to have been alive. You know, it looks like he's going to have severe issues with his leg, compound fracture, shattered his ankle. What are your thoughts about Tiger Woods at this point?
Well, hopefully, you know, a quick recovery, you know, for him and his family, that, you know, that he's can walk and can do everything that he needs to do to, and then we'll worry about the golf stuff later. You know, like I said, speedy recovery, and hopefully, you know, we'll see where we go from there. But, you know, we're hoping, praying for him, so.
And the whole, you know, golf community really comes together. I mean, everybody from Barbara and Jack Nicklaus to the PGA Tour commissioner to Justin Thomas. I mean, immediately Bryson DeChambeau, our content on Twitter, you know, basically acknowledging, you know, what Tiger means to the sport and sending out prayers. You know, golf is just a very kind of close-knit community, right?
Sure. You know, Tiger and I aren't really good friends, though. No, not a time for joke, but, you know, like you said, the golf is a small community of people, you know, that rooting for each other. So hopefully makes a quick recovery.
Sure. And with the Golf Channel coverage, obviously it shines a very bright light on golf in Puerto Rico, the Grand Reserve Golf Club, the Hyatt Regency, really everything about, you know, golf and the gorgeous views. I'm sure they're going to cut to some great aerial shots of the Atlantic Ocean and the beautiful coastline right here.
Absolutely. I mean, that's we're trying to make you jealous and come on down, you know, next weekend afterwards. Golf course opens, you know, a couple days after the event. So we're hoping everybody sees it and says, you know what, let's get out of this weather and come down and play.
Sports Interview is brought to you by Peak Vision Sunglasses, Zero Distortion, Patented Dual Zone Lens Technology. Learn more at Peak Vision, PEAKVision.com. And Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is also brought to you by Dune Jewelry and my Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or golf course in timeless pieces for men and women. Dune, D-U-N-E, Jewelry.com. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and my guest is Jeff Willingberg, the director of golf for TPC Dorado Beach Golf Course, and it's spectacular here, Jeff. Just the weather, first of all, it's been great. We're in Puerto Rico. Just talk about where we are exactly in Puerto Rico.
Okay. So we are in Dorado Beach in Dorado, which is about 20 minutes west of San Juan. It's all freeway. I think you hit two or three lights before you get to the club. So straight from the airport to here is no more than 30 minutes, unless you catch some crazy traffic, which is very rare. And the town itself is very beautiful. You have all kinds of restaurants that are Puerto Rican cuisine, but you can also have a Chili's. You have a Krispy Kreme. I mean, we even have a Walgreens that's 24 hours. And grocery stores. So, you know, not only is it we a tourist destination, but it's become a lifestyle for a lot of statesiders that have moved down to Puerto Rico.
I heard on the way over that Dorado means gold in Spanish. So this is a wealthy suburb, and, you know, the homes are gorgeous here.
Yeah, so Dorado Beach has always been a very prestigious club since it was founded in 1958 by Mr. Rockefeller, Nelson Rockefeller, and the old Dorado Beach Hotel. And through the ages, it has endured and prospered and grown. And currently, in addition to the golf course and the club and the community, we have the Dorado Beach Reserve, Ritz-Carlton. So, yes, it's a very, very affluent community. We have two private schools that are just right outside the property. So the state senators that have relocated here, they have a community that has everything. And early next year, we're going to open a new John Hopkins Hospital, 114 beds. So the town, the community, and the resort, and where everybody lives, you have everything you possibly want, even more because the weather's absolutely fantastic, as you saw today.
Jeff, three championship courses here. Robert Trent Jones Sr. was the original designer, and I think it's great that his son, Robert Trent Jones Jr., came in for the redesign. Talk a little bit about the golf options here.
Okay. So currently we have 36 holes. We have the East Golf Course, which is the iconic golf course that was built by Mr. Robert Trent Jones in 1958. And then the other golf course is the Sugar Cane Course, which is our inland golf course. And Mr. Jones's son, Robert Trent Jones Jr., in 2011, renovated the East. It was a multi-million-dollar renovation. We constructed new greens, and we revamped the golf course and trying to turn it back to its original form, but we did lengthen it and added some more bunkering. And the result just came out to be a beautiful championship golf course, very demanding, but also very resort-friendly, depending on what tees you play from. There are multiple ocean holes on the golf course. We have four that are on the ocean, and then many of the holes provide ocean views. And, of course, the trees and the forest that the golf course goes through is just absolutely stunning.
In 2016, Golf Digest ranked this golf course, the East Course, number one in Puerto Rico. I know in 2015, the East Course hosted the PGA Tour Latin American Tour Championships. I know there are a lot of accolades right here on the East Course, Jeff.
And just in addition to that, Dorado has a rich history of hosting PGA tournaments. We hosted several senior events back in the 90s. The World Cup was played here. Freddie Couples and Davis Love played in 1997 and won at shooting 40 under par. So we have a rich tradition of tournaments. More private now with our resort component. So we haven't hosted any tournaments over the last few years, but obviously we'll keep that door open if opportunities arise.
When did the Ritz-Carlton get involved?
So the new ownership that came in 2008, they brought them in. They understanding that Ritz-Carlton being one of the top hotel chains out there, and it's made a difference. It's actually it elevated the property. You know, people identify Ritz-Carlton with excellent service, and definitely added a much higher service brand to what they wanted here in Dorado and what they had before.
I mentioned Golf Digest. I know Golf Magazine lists TPC Dorado in its top 100 golf resorts and a top 5 member in the luxury category, along with Pebble Beach and Sea Island. So there are a lot of pretty good accolades here.
Yes, and you know, when you come down and see the resort and you see it, you can understand how beautiful the golf course is, and the whole property in general, the landscaping. That our club manages is fantastic. The beaches are absolutely gorgeous, the best beaches on the northern coast of Puerto Rico. You know, in addition to golf here, the community has a huge water park. We have world-class kite surfing. We have deep sea fishing. So there's all kinds of things to do down here once people relocate or come down and visit.
Talk about the golf course. Challenging. Obviously, you have the wind off the ocean today. It was quite windy. What was it, about a 20-mile-an-hour wind, would you say?
I would say we probably had gusts up to 25, 30 miles an hour, which is very unusual for us. We normally have a 10 to 15-mile-an-hour wind. It's the Caribbean trade winds that come through, blowing east to west. So today was pretty tough. Normally, you don't see it as like we saw it today.
But if you were to describe this to our listening audience, the course kind of meanders through lush jungle, coconut groves. As you mentioned, some oceanfront holes. That number one hole is spectacular with the Atlantic Ocean along the left side. Really interesting layout, challenging, and there's a lot of elevation as well.
Yeah, particularly back nine, there's some significant elevation changes. I mean, we're basically on the coast, so it's normally fairly flat, but there's actual natural elevations. There's four or five holes in the back nine that would go uphill and down. But the golf course, what's amazing about it is it's very straightforward, just not any blind shots. The bunkering is extremely challenging. The greens complexes are very challenging. If you hit great shots, you're going to be rewarded. If you miss shots, you're going to be challenged to get up and down for a par. The sand is actually the beach sand, and we cleaned it, used it, USGA approved it. And it's right off from our beaches when we built the hotel. So it's extremely challenging. The sand is very, very firm. You probably saw that today. But fair. You know, if you hit a good shot, it's going to reward you. So that's really what's good. It's that the golf course is not tricked up. It's just very straightforward. It's a classic golf course that you can enjoy with making different shots, and you can be rewarded or you can be penalized or similar.
I love the number one handicap hole, which has to be a signature hole, correct?
Yeah. So that's number four. It's our Z hole. It's a par five. The green sets up right up against the ocean, and it's framed with some beautiful towering palm trees. So it just gives you a great visual of being on a deserted island playing golf. So it's the one hole that everybody comments on. It's a great risk and reward hole. You can get home in two and get an eagle or a birdie, or you can make a double bogey really quick. So the second shots all carry over water, and depending on how the wind is playing, with normally it's a crosswind, but sometimes it winds into you. It can be extremely, extremely challenging. So you have to be very, very careful when you hit your second shot. The green is very undulating, uphill, downhill, all kinds. You have to be on the right side of the green to make sure that you have a great shot at making your putt.
The par 3, 17th, was quite challenging, particularly today with all that wind, but loved every minute of it.
Yeah, sometimes playing downwind makes the golf hole easier. That's not necessarily the case. And today, that hole played downwind, but it created a lot of havoc with our golf shots. I mean, we all flew the green and trying to get it back up and down. It's very, very challenging. It's a great hole towards the end. It could be a good birdie hole. The bin position today was very, very difficult. So par today was a really good score. And I think maybe a couple of us had par. Some of us may have had bogeys. But still, it was a very, very big challenge just to get the ball up and down where we had to play today.
All par threes were very challenging.
That's one of the signatures of the golf course. That is always talked about. It's the par threes here are very, very tough, particularly on the front nine. They're very long. The wind comes into play on all four of them, particularly the front nine. The crosswind can knock a shot way offline and knock it in the water. The back nine, particularly number 12 and number 17, the undulations of the green are extremely very, very extreme, and you can three putt very quickly.
So talk about the rich history here, Jeff. You had mentioned at the beginning it was Rockefeller who originally came and saw the land and bought the land?
So the original owner of the property was a lady by the name of Clara Livingston. Her family owned this whole area. She was actually a great aviator, and one of her friends was Amelia Earnhardt. And in fact, Amelia stayed here shortly before she started her voyage to over the Pacific Ocean. Clara was a aviator here. We had an airport on the property for many years. So she sold it to Mr. Rockefeller in the 50s, and then they built the hotel, and then they brought in Robert Trent Jones Sr. to start building the golf courses. Ultimately, he built four courses. We have two today, as we talked earlier. We're going to have another course that's going to be built down the road. We'll be breaking ground very soon. And so we'll end up with three golf courses. The history is very, it's very interesting. Mr. Rockefeller sold, and there was a couple of owners. Hyatt was an owner for a while, and then the previous ownership group, when they purchased it, they built a beach club. They built a water park, which we passed through, a huge gymnasium and fitness center. They plan to build another beach club, and they're continuing to build real estate, houses, villas on the ocean. I mean, it's just a huge expansion to accommodate all the people that are coming down here to live. We are a travel destination, but we are a living destination now. Most of the people that you saw today when we were driving back and forth to the golf course, they're not hotel guests. They're actually residents that live here.
I'm sure with the pandemic, everybody, golf is booming, during this pandemic because of the social distancing aspect. But a lot of people are heading out of the cities and looking for places to live. And that might be one of the reasons why real estate here at Dorado is booming. Would you say, Jeff?
Absolutely. So obviously, this is a very high-skill resort. And we're seeing a lot of people that are moving down for multiple reasons for Puerto Rico, and they're choosing Dorado as a lifestyle because of what the community, what the resort has to offer, what the town has to offer. And we don't see that slowing down anytime soon. In the last six months, we've had over 80 members that have joined the club, and we don't expect to see that to stop. It's still continuing. And we are we have three projects underway right now on the property, and we expect all those to be sold within the next 2 years.
The homes along the first hole and the 18th hole are absolutely stunning. How old are those homes? And talk a little bit about that real estate.
Very, very high end. This is, as we call that area, East Beach. And not only are they residences, but they also can put their houses. They're part of the Ritz-Carlton as well. So if they decide to rent, they could put their houses into the Ritz-Carlton hotel. They also get all the services that the Ritz-Carlton provides. So extremely expensive. We're talking multi-million dollar homes. And, that's the lifestyle that we have here.
They're beautiful. I just couldn't stop looking at the real estate, along with the beauty of the golf course, a lot of variety, as we were talking about, and the ocean views, of course. Just spectacular. You were mentioning some of the personalities who have been associated with the club in the past. And Chichi Rodriguez used to be here?
Yes, Chichi was here for many, many years, from back when Mr. Rockefeller was here. So he is an indelible part of this club. I knew him well. We were good friends. He's no longer in Puerto Rico now. He's moved to Florida. But this was his place. This is where he started. And he's a big part of Dorado Beach. His home is still here. I see him now every now and then when I go up to the PGA show. Last time I saw him was a couple of years ago. And, he's missed. When hotel guests come down, one of the first questions they ask us is, Chichi around? I want to meet Chichi. So he'll always be a part of this resort, one way or the other, particularly on the golf side.
And just talk about the improvements that they're going to, that the East Course will undergo sooner than later, right?
Yeah, for the improvements of the golf course. So, we lengthened the golf course to be able to host more events. The golf course was lengthened over almost 300 yards, so it plays about 7,300 now. The bunkering was made a little bit more challenging than before, but the big thing was the length. And certainly, if you talk to some of the pros that have come over and played, they will tell you that this should host an event. I know when the Latino Championship was here, they absolutely loved it. One of the PGA Tour professionals that play their home course is Dorado Beach, Rafa Campos. He tells us all the time he would love to have an event here. He thinks that it would stack up very well with the rest of the golf courses that they play on.
And the Sugar Cane course will be worked on, improved?
We will probably address that. We're gonna bring the other golf course in first. We're looking at redoing the greens on the east golf course. Those two things will be done first, and then we'll take care of the other golf course, the Sugar Cane. It's a great golf course to play. The members love to play it. The greens are super fast. It's a great complement to the east golf course. So if you come down for about 3 or 4 days, you want to play the east 3 or 4 times and play the Sugar Cane a couple times. It's a great change. Again, it's an inland golf course, but it's very, very, very pretty, very fun, and very challenging. A lot of water.
And you have a woman who's the agronomist, which was nice to see.
Yes, Carla Cora. She's our director of agronomy. So not only does she work the golf courses, but she handles all the landscaping that you saw on the property. And she does an amazing job. She's got a spectacular team. It's very challenging to run an operation in the Caribbean. We don't have seasons, so grass is growing 24/7, weeds are growing 24/7, bugs are going crazy 24/7, 365 a year. So we are always having to have a team in place and making sure that the golf course stays up to the standards that are expected by our hotel guests and by our members. So in the States, we have seasons, so you have about 4 to 6 months where the team's not doing a whole lot to... Yeah. On a teaching 4-month teaching contract here at Dorado Beach. And the first night I was here, I absolutely fell in love with the property. I mean, we had dinner at one of the restaurants right on the ocean and just fell in love with Puerto Rico within 24 hours. 2 months later, I was an assistant golf professional. 2 years later, I was a director of golf at one of the properties here on Dorado, the Hyatt Regency Serramar Beach. And then to stay on the island, I was the general manager at Palmas del Mar Country Club. general manager at Bahia Beach Resort and Club on the other side of the island, director of golf at Rio Mar, and then came back to Dorado Beach. So I've been all over the island for the last 24 years. I met my wife in 1999. We were married in 2004 here in Dorado. So it's been an incredible journey down here. Originally, I was from Dallas, but I am really Puerto Rican now. And it's just been an incredible experience.
My thanks to Dan Shepherd of Dan Shepherd Public Relations, to all the wonderful folks at Discover Puerto Rico, including J.P. Polo and Davlin Tardy. My thanks to Jeff Willenberg, the director of golf at TPC Dorado Beach, and Aaron Wise, the director of golf at Grand Reserve Golf Club. And my thanks to Delaney Hefner in the studio. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Be safe, be well, be kind. And I'll talk to you next Saturday morning right here on Sports Interview with Ann LaGorrie.